This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 22nd, episode 1857, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it was your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
That's right. He said, I have to get new tights. I just want to go over that again.
Actually, I might, actually, because I might be wearing my King's costume for an event coming up, and I don't have tights.
Will you please wear tights on the cruise so everybody can just see your legs and their awesomeness? You gotta wear. You gotta
be a king.
Jennifer
married me 30 years ago.
You know what? Actually, if you could just wear the king's costume like every day on the cruise, and people will think you just dress like that normally.
I don't think they would let me on with the big sword, though. Do you?
That's how I do the show. What are you talking about? That's how I always dress. Let me be.
Should we? And one morning on the cruise, Jennifer, should we have pajama breakfast in the morning? Because that is actually how we do the show. It's like the pajamas.
We did that. Pajama breakfast. So all of you people going on the cruise, get yourself some horsey pajamas. You need him.
Do you remember when we were in Norco that Friday morning? In the hotel, we had pajama and everybody showed up except for the mayor. He didn't show up in pajamas.
Well, there's all these people watching our shows, and every morning I was having to get dressed and like put on makeup, and it's California times. It was like super early. That was terrible. I just thought we should maybe just be real. Let's be real people.
We all showed up in our pajamas. I think, and that was the day the mayor showed up to be on this show.
Well, all the people that came to be on the show were in pajamas too. So it worked out. And they had to travel to us. So it worked out great. Yeah. So
that's when 6-7 years ago when being in pajamas to go to the grocery store wasn't a thing. Now it's just like you see everybody in pajamas at Walmart and the grocery store.
It wasn't a thing for who? Because some of us were pioneers of the pajama craze, okay?
Okay, jeez.
People are like, I can't believe people wear pajamas now. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really weird. I think, too, that let me just take a little bit of credit. I found a guru, like the pictures I took from summer camp when I was a teenager, because I was just at my mom's house in Florida, and I was looking through, and I invented the selfie. I like took 100 pictures with the camera turned around of my face and trying to get things in the background. And I'm like, Mom, I invented the selfie. Look at this. But I was so hideous at the time because I hadn't had braces. I didn't actually, bad mistake when I was younger, and I invented the selfie. I also had permed hair that was dyed blonde, which with the dark hair that I have, it was fairly orange. And then I got braces and I had a thing for neon clothing because it was the late 80s. So I had neon clothing, short orange permed hair and braces. I'm telling you.
You didn't go on many dates, did you?
I was hot. Fortunately, you don't date when you're 12, and there's a reason, because you're disgusting. We all have those phases.
I never had the perm. I saw a couple of my friends posted on Facebook and they posted pictures of their 80s days with the perm, and these are white guys, with their perms standing up like a foot. I never did the perm thing.
Oh, man. It was really, really cool. And you guys know how much I take care of my hair now, that when I got my haircut and my like little style, and she's like, just use a roll brush, blow it out, and use a roll brush.
What's a roll brush?
I'm like, what are you talking about? I go, I have a crimper. She was like, I haven't heard that word in a long time. I'm like, can I bring crimping back? Because like, I could do that. You just basically burn your hair until it goes in these little waves. Anyway.
We've come a long way from my mom and the orange rollers. A long way from that.
No, pink.
Pink. Oh, they were pink. You're right. They were pink. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
To ask me how I know. God, I'm feeling really old right now. Jennifer, save me. Tell me what's coming up on today's show.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we are going to have a little chat with Madison and Pete from Galloping with Guidance, all about their clever PEMF and Aquapacer services that help you get your horse happy and fit, just like Zeus. And then after that, Leslie is going to stop by with the wacky world of eventing and Horse Nation, and she is going to touch the dial for sarcasm, and then she's going to turn it up to 11. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. I just want to give my daily whinny to all the para riders who had their second weekend of competition in Wellington. They always have 2 weekends of competition down there this time of year. And this is the selectors are taking a look right now at WEG. So they're taking a look at who the team is going to be. So I want to just congratulate all of them. It looked like they had a great time. The weather was good and some good competition down there. So you can find out more about that. Dressage Daily has a complete article about, you know, who did what. So you can head over there and see that at Dressage Daily. And also a special shout out to my good friend and our listener, Charlotte, who was on the show here. Was it Friday? We did trivia last week, and she was on the Wednesday, and she also competed over the weekend and did quite well. So I was very happy with her performance. So good for her, too. Congratulations to all of them.
That's a very appropriate whinny sound because, this weekend he was born. California man. He was born at Taylor Made Farm. I have named the new baby of California Chrome.
California man?
The mayor is paid the man, and he's California Chrome. It's got to be California man. I mean, come on. You can't pay the Chrome. That's weird.
That is weird.
So I came up with the name. So you can thank me later, California Chrome and Taylor Made. He had a California Chrome had his first baby ever, and it's a little colt and no white, maybe a tiny bit of white on a hind left and a tiny little blaze, but it's not the California Chrome part. So anyway, he's adorable.
Did you see how hairy that baby was?
Yeah.
Hairy baby.
thank God Zara didn't come out that hairy. She'd have overheated. So, but I did notice how big this horse is, like his foal's hind end is and legs are. And what I really also noticed is that they already have a halter on him and a lead rope. And I really should have probably done that a little sooner with my filly before she got
they do it like from day one, just like this. They do it right away. Yeah.
Every farm is different. So, oh, he's
so cute.
The size
of those legs.
They're huge. He's a solid little dude. And, Pay the Man is a very accomplished racehorse. So congrats. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see it. And when they come out, just mark my words right now. It's 7:10 a.m. on the 22nd of January, 2018. When they name this horse, his name is going to be California Man.
All right. Write that down, Jennifer, in the Book of Jamie.
Write that down.
Yeah.
You know where she files everything from the Book of Jamie?
Yeah.
Right in the garbage.
I just emptied her trash the other day. I did see a lot of papers in there that had your name on it.
Yeah, I know.
It's in the same file as the complaints department.
Yes.
Yeah.
They go together.
That's exactly. All complaints and Book of James.
Well, why are you talking about racing? It's a big week for racing, actually. They're having the award ceremony on, I think, Thursday night, and they're going to be naming Eclipse Horse Awards of the Year and the Eclipse Awards. And they're expecting, I think, that it's the 47th, by the way, year of the Eclipse Awards. All the bets are on Gunrunner, right, to win.
Yeah, it has to be Gunrunner.
11 victories, $8.9 million in earnings last year, so not too bad.
Well, he won the Breeders' Cup Classic. It just seems like unless you have a horse like American Pharaoh and it's three-year-old year, they're going to take the horse that has his kind of year as a shoe-in. And then also, you're probably about to say this, I think the Pegasus is this weekend, and it's actually going to be Gunrunner's last race.
And the Pegasus Cup is that one they started a couple of years ago. It was like $10 million race. They were trying to get a really big dollar race here in the United States this time of year. And this year it's $16 million. And that's a Gulfstream too,
person,
right?
Each horse buys in for $1 million.
Right.
So it's not even, they don't have to have sponsors. It's just a Pegasus World Cup. And when you buy an entry, you are guaranteed to buy it, you know, own it the next year unless you sell it. So yeah, it's a very... It's a bunch of rich people that like to gamble.
That's
and
right.
You're gambling $1 million.
That's right.
And so it makes it exciting. Yeah.
And Gunrunner is going to be in there. So it's kind of neat to have a horse of the year that's still out winning lots of money.
Yep. So hopefully he'll win and they'll go out on top. And I don't see how anybody can beat him. But I'll tell you some good stories about the horses that are running on Wednesday. We'll do a little bit more coverage about it on Wednesday, so you can come back and visit that. But there's a really interesting story about one of the horses that's in it that it's kind of like, I don't think he's ever been done before. So it's kind of interesting. I wanted to just briefly tell you guys where I was over the weekend, because you guys know I'm very honest on this show and a little bit sometimes overly honest. Glenn's like, you probably shouldn't have said that. but I went last week, this whole thing unfolded in front of Chad and I, where we were selected by a kinship family. I'm sorry, that's adoption terms. By a family that had just kind of started fostering a three-year-old girl in their family. And they realized that they weren't able to take care of her and meet her needs. So they actually found Chad and my profile on this adoption website. And I got a phone call last Sunday morning basically saying, hey, we've got this little girl. She's 3 years old and she'd be perfect for you. And we're like, what? Huh? Like, how can this be? 2 years of searching through our agency and just privately somebody saw us online and thought we would be a good match. Well, in the world of the small world that we live in, it turns out the little girl is in the same town that my mother lives in, which is in Palm Coast, Florida. Seriously. Glenn, could you pick Palm Coast out on a map?
No, not unless you told me where it was near.
Yeah.
No idea.
Exactly.
Somewhere on the coast.
So, like, he works in St. Augustine and, like, lives in Palm Coast. And so it was very bizarre because St. Augustine is where Chad and I got married and my brother lives there. And then the Palm Coast connection, which is like, wow, this is a lot that is totally meant to be. So we flew there, we met the little girl, and we had her for a couple days, and we, like, with the utmost heart-crushing, soul-scarring, like, this is going to scar me for the rest of my life this weekend, we were unable to provide and meet her needs. Being that we live on a farm, a lot of her behaviors, I felt like she could get hurt here. And a lot of her, I don't think that they knew a lot of what her behaviors entailed. I'm sure they knew she was difficult, but it was something where Chad and I realized we couldn't keep her safe, bringing her to a place where 9 horses and 4 dogs walk around all the time and stuff. So we had to decide. I'm giving you like the massively, like the 2-minute version of a week of torture. And so we ended up not being able to bring her home. And I think I cried maybe 3 days straight. And so on our last day, we're flying out Saturday night. And of course, we're intending to have an extra person on the way home, which we didn't. That was Saturday night. We were flying out on Friday night. I'm like, we have to salvage this. Lucas was with us. You know, he thought he was going to meet his sister. We were going to meet our child. And, you know, it didn't work. So I'm like, we have to salvage our trip. And we're flying out of Orlando. So Glenn, what's in Orlando?
I was so happy when I saw you send a picture to me Saturday morning of you entering Magic Kingdom.
I went to Magic Kingdom. I took Lucas, my 4.5-year-old, to Magic Kingdom.
Perfect age, too.
Perfect age. But he kept going, is this where the Paw Patrol lives? Is this where the Paw Patrol lives? And those who have children are laughing right now because obviously it's not Disney, it's Nickelodeon. And Chad kept going, no, Lucas, Paw Patrol lives in the snow. They live in Canada. That's a whole other country. Paw Patrol's in Canada. So he was like really disappointed that the Paw Patrol didn't live in Disney World because he doesn't know what characters go with. We're like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. And, you know, I kept going Daffy Duck. And he's Chad's like, no, Donald Duck. I'm like, oh, okay. Like I had to like shift my brain back to, you know, being a Disney kid again. It was so anyway, we go and we got there. So everything I read, because then I'm like full force planning a Disney Magic Kingdom trip with a 4-year-old. And everything said, plan, get your passes.
It usually means plan about 3 months or 6 months ahead. But, you know, the night before is okay.
We learned that. Actually, I was planning it on the way, on the drive. So like Googling, like, how do you do Magic Kingdom with a 4-year-old? And everything's like, get your passes.
Get your fast passes.
Apparently, you can get your fast passes like a month before.
No, 6 months. So, and people do.
Oh, my God.
Because the good things were taken, weren't they?
You know what the fast pass that we got, the one fast pass we didn't even use, was the teacups.
Yeah, you don't really need one for that.
And I was like, it's the only one with a 9-minute wait. So we go to Disney World, and it's fairly chilly in the morning. It was a really cold weekend in Florida. And so we go to Disney World, and we're walking in. You know, Lucas is like bouncing around. He's so excited. And I wanted to take him on the Peter Pan ride because that was my favorite ride. We walk in the park. It is just open, and we get to the Peter Pan ride. There's 70-minute wait.
Yeah, Peter Pan, wow. For some reason, it's the simplest damn ride that was made 50 years ago, and that line is always that long.
I was like, what? I was like, we're not going on Peter Pan. Sorry, bud.
Tell me you didn't go across the street to It's a Small World and start with that.
We did not start with that because Dad was like, there's no way in hell I'm going on that ride.
You'd have that in your head the rest of the day and you'd be tortured.
So it was fairly chilly, but I'm like, we got to go to Splash Mountain. It's awesome. And then Chad was like, what is Uncle Remus and what is Brer Rabbit? Because I was like, we got to go see Brer Rabbit. And he's like, what are you talking about? So then I had to explain who Uncle Remus was and what Song of
Chad's
the South is.
Chad's old enough to know that.
Yes, but he's not from the South.
Oh, okay.
And he had no idea.
Really?
Who Brer Rabbit was, Brer Bear, Brer Fox. Please don't throw me in that briar patch. Like, he had no clue. So
was
I'm
it
like
open?
Explaining the story. And then we get there and Splash Mountain was freaking closed.
Yeah, they refurbish it every winter. Did you go the railroad roller coaster?
We were on the way to that roller coaster and we passed by the Haunted Mansion.
Ah.
And there was no wait. So I'm like, let's go. We're going to the Haunted Mansion. And we get there and we're, you know, getting that little thing and you're riding around. And Lucas is like, this isn't scary. This isn't scary. And then about 2 minutes later, he goes, I want to get out. I want to get out. I want to get out. And I was like, dude, I don't. Like, I don't want to get out of here. I'm like, just close your eyes. And so, of course, he didn't.
And that is about the most unscary haunted ride ever.
Like... Says you. You're not four and a half. So we get through the whole ride and we get out and there's like the whole crowd of people walking out. And I go, what'd you think, buddy? And he goes, Mama, next time we come to Disney World, I am not going on that ride. That was spooky. So then we went to that. What's the roller coaster with the dinosaur bones in it?
Oh, the mine train.
The mine train. No, not the mine train. That's the other one. The one next to Splash Mountain.
Oh, that is the mine train. Yep. That's the one you're talking about.
Yeah. So
that's a fun roller coaster too, because it doesn't go real high. So
that was awesome.
That's a fun coaster.
I want to do it again.
He was old enough. He's tall enough to get on him now.
He was tall enough for everything. He's like, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. So we go back around and we had waited about half an hour for it. We go back around to do it again, 70 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, So we move on. We did Dumbo. We did the Aladdin magic carpet, all those like kind of little kid ones. And he loved all of them. Every ride he rode, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. And then I see Brer Bear and Brer Rabbit. And I'm like, let's go see Brer Bear and Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox. And Lucas is like, hell to the no. I'm like, let's go. Chip and Dale. We saw Snow White. We saw all these characters. And he's like, nope. I was like, that's my boy. Because I don't like weirdos in costume either, buddy. Good job. Chad's like, you don't want to get your picture with Mickey Mouse? He's like, nope. Not a bit. So
not even a little.
Not even a little bit.
Did you convince him to go on Space Mountain?
Oh my God. By the time we got over to Space Mountain, we did go in the Wheel of Progress.
Yeah, because that has no line ever.
Ever. And I took a nap.
Oh, if it's a hot, hot, here's our Disney advice for new Disney people. If it's a hot, hot day in the afternoon, you go in that, you get a good 20-minute cool nap. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I took a little nap in there and Lucas thought it was really cool and Chad stayed awake with him. So I took a little nap and then, we also went the Mike Wazowski comedy.
Oh, that is the funniest thing. We go to that first thing every time we go to Disney.
It was hilarious.
Oh, it's hilarious. How they do it, I don't know.
It's basically like Mike Wazowski's on the screen talking, and it turns out there's somebody that's actually doing his voice, and it matches his voice and all of the characters' voices.
It's improv. It's basically improv with cartoons, and I don't get it.
The cartoon talks along with the improv guy.
And then they get audience involvement in that one. That's a fun show, and it's different every time. We've gone in two times in a row or three times in a row, and because they pick different people, and you know, it's different. So
yeah, that was really fun. I told Lucas, I said, at the end of the day, because he wanted to buy everything. And I said, at the end of the day, we'll go into the Emporium and you can have whatever you want. So at the end of the day, everybody, it's like 3 o'clock is when we had to leave. And of course you see children just completely melting.
Yes.
At this point, you can't go on a ride. We went to go on Space Mountain, 2.5 hour wait.
Oh, whoa, it must have been packed that day.
But it was one of the yellow days. It was supposed to be yellow. Yeah,
there's no good days at Disney anymore.
Yeah, so it was the lowest time. I was like, I can't even imagine coming around Christmas time or whenever the busiest days are, because it was insane. After that first hour, we really couldn't ride anything. We just walked around, but I did have a lovely vegan falafel burger. And
that doesn't even sound good.
It was amazing. And then we went and got ice cream. And by the way, they have vegan. I had a vegan Coke float. It was like almond ice cream. It was amazing. And so just so you know, the veganism can live in Disney World. It was perfect. So we go to the Emporium and I'm like, dude, you can have whatever you want. Just pick one thing. You can have whatever you want. Fortunately, my child does not have exorbitant tastes, because we would have to revisit that promise. And he picks Darth Vader's lightsaber, you know, and like shake it, thing flies out. And it was like $12. It was perfect. So I was like, great, here you go. Let's go. And there's nothing more fun than watching a 4.5-year-old shop in Disney World all around. I mean, it was amazing. So we go to out to the car and we're on the little tram. By the way, it takes like an hour to get out of Disney World.
Yes.
So we're on the tram. I'm like, hey, buddy, what was your favorite thing about today? Your entire day at Disney World, what was your favorite thing? And he goes, the lightsaber. I was like, I could Amazon that for $4.
Yeah. It wouldn't have cost you $500 to go to Disney that day.
Exactly. I was like, your favorite thing in the entire day was the toy you bought at the end. But he actually walks around with it on his little belt clip and like pulls it out and shakes it out, like flings it out. It's pretty funny. So yeah, his entire favorite thing at Disney World was the toy he bought at the end. But it was very fun. And the reason I didn't post anything on Facebook about being there, and it's a good thing that my father and his wife do not listen to the show. My dad would have been so pissed.
Oh, he wasn't alone.
I want to take him to Disney World. I want to take him to Disney World. Like, you can't handle this child at Disney World. You're 72. But we were just there and we decided to go. So that's why I didn't post anything about being there, because I didn't want my dad to see.
Did you go on the pirate? Did you do the pirates thing?
No, we never got to the pirate. We went up the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse. Oh. I love the pirate ride. Yeah. And we were just unable to. The wait was too long. And
It used to be, even 5 years ago, the pirate ride you could walk on. There was never anybody on it. But I don't know why. Yeah, the ride has just gotten really popular. It used to be you could just walk. There is no doubt for anybody visiting Disney now. We used to go. The least busy week for Disney and Universal is the first week after, is it Labor Day in September? After Labor Day, that week is the least busy week, period. Any other time, there used to be downtimes, like right now, February, no. Not anymore. And they're all South Americans coming up now, too. I don't know if you noticed that. A lot of Spanish accents.
I noticed that there was literally no English-speaking people in the whole entire park.
That's
like,
right.
Mike Wazowski was making jokes. Like, he was telling this guy to get up and dance. And
he didn't understand a word of it, did he?
He goes, I'm pretty sure we have a language barrier.
Yeah.
Which was even funnier.
It's all Spanish, and it's all South America. Apparently, this is their summertime, so they come up. And they come up this time of year. And I learned a little bit more about the tourism trade in Florida when we were at that conference a couple weeks ago. And that's what they said. They said there's just no downtime anymore.
Yeah, no, there was no downtime. And they said Friday was really slow. And then this was Saturday. And Saturday they were saying, oh, all the locals come on the weekends. No, they don't.
No, there's no locals. And you do hear some European accents, but not a lot. It's mostly Spanish
looking at Euros with tight pants on. We're like, hey, there's a guy with tight pants.
It is kind of fun, though, when you hear the different languages to try and guess which language it is. Because some are pretty clear, and then you get up into like some of the Dutch countries and things, it gets a little more confusing about who's who. And some of the Russian countries, too. But yeah, you can stand in line. You have to amuse yourself somehow waiting in 2 hours in line. So now you know what I felt like after we went to see the new ride at Pandora and we waited 4 hours. Now you know why I was whining about that.
I told Chad was in agreement. He's like, we are not at all waiting 2 hours for a ride. I mean, if it said anything higher than 20 minutes, he's like, nope, move on.
How would you have entertained your child for two hours, you know?
You can't. And then it's just a S show in those lines of like kids going crazy. Yeah. And, you know, and if they let you take a stroller in the line, it would be easier because then your kid could sleep while you're waiting. But that's horrible. My feet, oh my gosh, my feet hurt so bad.
Yep. They do. You walk about 10 miles. I mean, you do walk
a
long way.
Well, you just stand and
wait. That one's a little different. Going to Magic Kingdom is different, too, because the parking is across the lake. So you either have to take the monorail, the boat, to actually get to the parking. So you're right, it is a process. Now, imagine Jemmy and I, our first adventure, we did 10 different free things at Disney on Disney Transportation all day, and we never got off of Disney Transportation, which meant we went through those security checks 7 times. So it was a feat.
They're like, these weirdos back again.
I think they were following us, actually.
I don't know how you could find a free thing to do at Disney World.
You have to look really hard. All right.
Did you count the train ride as a free thing?
let's talk about Omega Alpha Equine. What are you using now for your ponies?
Well, you know, I actually had a horse that just recently I went to that clinic of Holly Bennett, and one of the owner of the farm. So you spring this on me. Now I got to Google the name of it. Alpha Equine, because I had it on hand.
It is omegaalphaequine.com for everybody who wants to Google along.
Yeah, Google along with me as I do the commercial Glenn never prepares me for.
No. I'm catching her off guard.
Google along with me. I'm like... Just makes me think of, what was that TV show? Oh my gosh. It was the little kids TV show and they had the magic mirror or whatever it was. Oh,
that's Pee Wee's Playhouse.
No. This was really old. This is like 1950s. And the opening of the show, they have this little paddle. It looked like a ping pong paddle. And it had this bizarre LSD trip kind of a effect. They made it go swirly. Oh, I don't remember what it was, but maybe think of that. I'm sorry.
Like, where are you going with this? But it sounds good. It's giving me time to Google. So
Google along with me just made me think of the TV show.
Google along with me, children. So there was a horse that was colicking a little bit, and she, you know, for some reason, people always go, give him Banamine. And well, you don't want to just pump Banamine into a horse if it is dehydrated or if you're going to call the vet. But it was an older broodmare, and she's like, give a Banamine. And I was like, no, I have this thing in my car. And I had the Omega Alpha Equicel light, and it comes in these tubes, and it's basically a tube of electrolytes. And it also has amino acids and all these just great products in it. And remember, everything from Omega Alpha is herbal, non-testable. It's not drugs. And so I actually just gave the mare a tube of Equicel light while the Holly Bennett Clinic is going on. I'm trying to watch from like over the horse. So I'm giving the horse a tube. And you know what? Never need a Banamine. Horse was totally fine. Apparently an hour later was drinking. So it's great to have on hand Equicel Light. And it comes in the tubes that you can just very easily just give them a dose of it really quick. So you can find that OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Google along with us, people. Google along with us. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And Jen, yes, Romper Room was the show she was talking about.
Romper Room. God, that was old.
That's the one.
Let's go back a few
years. I fortunately don't know the show, so that's making me feel not as old as I was talking about.
As the beginning of the show did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we've got Madison and Pete on the phone right now, and these guys are neighbors of mine, and they're from a place called Galloping with Guidance. And Madison and Pete, you guys remember when I talked about all summer long I would go and swim Zeus in the Aqua Pacer? Mm-hmm. They have the Aqua Pacer. Oh, this is where the Aqua Pacer is. And they have another new machine called the PEMF machine. Let's welcome Pete and Madison to the show. Hey, guys.
Hello.
How's it going? I know it's super early. Thank you for getting up and joining us.
Oh, no worries.
Oh, it's fantastic. Just drinking my coffee right now and trying to get things going, too.
You and me both. You and me both. So let's see. Madison, tell us a little bit about Galloping with Guidance.
So Galloping with Guidance started back when I first gave lessons, almost 10 years ago. I started giving lessons when I was only like 12 or 13 out of our backyard. And it's just kind of grown to where we're at now. And then we've kind of expanded it just from not just lessons and boarding training to now we have a rehab facility to go with it. And so about 2 years ago, we went ahead and bought our first machine, which is the Aqua Pacer, to start rehabbing horses and conditioning. So go ahead.
I think what's unique about your facility is, first of all, there's nothing like that in the West Valley. By the way, Glenn and Jen, Madison is like a world champion barrel racer. Okay. Like she's a badass. So she's got these horses that she's training and she's able to keep them fit with her own.
I love Dad's laugh there. That was
rough. Yeah. And what's also unique is it is a father daughter facility that you couldn't pay me to work with my daddy. Bless his heart. I love him, but like I'm working with him. So Pete, talk a little bit about the relationship that you have with your daughter. How are you guys able to run a business together? Who's really in charge? No, you don't even have to answer that. We know. It's Madison.
I know. Exactly. It's a tough question to answer, but you know, when we first initially went into it, there was a lot of questions. But a lot of the answers are simple. You know somebody who you're going to work with. You've been with them a whole life, obviously, but I don't have that type of problem that most people may have. Is I love my family and I'm a family man, but when it came to putting things together as a business, there was nothing easier to do because we knew when we grew up that this is something we wanted to do together. And working with her is simple. She has strengths and weaknesses, and I have strengths and weaknesses, and together it actually complements each other. And we work really, really, it's like a refined machine. And when we put the two together, it just became music. And next thing you know, we just said, hey, you know, let's see if we can help other horses at the same time. And we've just been growing ever since. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it's wonderful. I mean, some people, like they say, can't work with family, but I don't look back. I tell everybody, you know, it's tough. It's great. But at the end of the day, who you work with as a family is what I live with. I love it.
Madison, do you agree with everything he just said? Just checking.
Yes.
Okay,
it gets rough at sometimes, but no, it's definitely good because, you know, I know there's someone out there that's going to be there all the time. And like you said, he has strong suits that I don't. I'm, you know, more of the horse person. I can read the horses, and he's mechanical, and he can see things that I don't always see with the machine and with horses. So we definitely do have each other's strong suits that complement each other.
So they have this aqua pacer. Yeah, they have this aqua pacer, and they took Zeus and you know, no whips or anything to get him in. It was just like very slow and methodical. And I was nervous about that, too, because I just didn't want anybody to get aggressive with him. And they were great. And they said, yeah, we really haven't had any horses not, you know, do it. And then I brought a client's horse over, and I think you've not had two horses go in it, and both of those are horses that are clients of mine. I'm really doing well with the aqua pacer, but Zeus went in and loved it, and we kept him going all summer. But then you guys just got, oh, and by the way, somebody just emailed me asking how Pink was doing. Pink is actually boarded with Madison and Pete at Galloping with Guidance. She's going to start coming back here next month so we can start getting her pregnant. But that's where she was. Somebody just emailed me over the weekend asking. So funny. But anyway, so Pete, tell us about the PEMF machine.
Well, I know you've had some firsthand results about it, so I know you can definitely brag about it because PEMF is wonderful. PEMF starts out as Pulse Electromagnetic Field Therapy. It's a revolutionary drug-free technology that basically gently pulses the cells in your body and recharges them. It gives your body the ability to heal naturally and drug-free. That's it in a nutshell. We can break it down and get more information, but PEMF therapy is just phenomenal.
So they've been talking to me about it. You need to do the PEMF with Zeus because remember, he kind of gets grumpy and we've done everything. So I thought, okay, we're going to do the PEMF therapy. But Pete was like, you have to try it on yourself first so you know what's going on. So I go into their house and I sit down on this chair and he turns on this machine. You know, it looks like I'm about to get electrocuted and turns on the machine. And says your body, it'll kind of like find the spots in your body that need healing. And you know, come on guys, honestly, right. I'm like, okay, sure. Well, I had been, and the reason they recommended me doing it was because I had just been to the orthopedic doctor. Glenn, I told you about this. My shoulder is pretty bad. So as opposed to get injections yet or get, surgery, they're trying this like medicine. So I've got this long-term medicine I'm supposed to be taking for pain. And they're like, maybe if we get all the inflammation out in that long period of medicine, it'll be fine. But basically you have arthritis. I was like, whatever. Okay. So I sit down on this thing and I feel these little, like, I like call them little zappies, like these little zappies. They don't hurt. It just kind of like feels like it's flicking you almost. Does that make sense? You'd say, Pete, like it's like a little flick?
It's a flick.
I think we're losing connection with Pete. He doesn't sound so good.
Here, put him on. So, Pete, no. Go to the window. You're breaking up. So,
I've been sitting in the chair. I'm trying to kick it.
There you go. He's getting little flickies too. So immediately I feel it on my body and it like climbs up and goes directly to my shoulder and starts. And right. So he tells me to put my arm up and I could feel it on my shoulder, Glenn, and it immediately went.
Is it
there?
I have a TENS machine. Is it like that, Pete?
you know, everybody talks about pens and this particular machine. This machine, the way I can try to describe it to you, it's kind of like cells in your body are in your blood, your skin, your muscles. Now, put this towards your TENS unit. TENS unit sets electrically outside the skin, and you can electrically pulse it and activate them.
And you really have to put it where you want it, and it targets an area.
Bingo. Now, my machine doesn't have that ability to do that because it doesn't need to. It uses magnetic field therapy. I know it sounds like a big word, but it's really simplistic. Our body is made up of cells. The cells, as keeping it as simplistic as I can, imagine the cells as a battery. When they start to get weak, they get traumatized, they start to give you inflammation and swelling and bruising, similar things that Jamie has. Now, when I turn this machine on, the magnets are attracted to a low charge. Hence, I'm going to use that word from that battery, if you will. They go to that low charge, and then it starts to recharge it. And that's why she started to feel it in her shoulder, because that battery, if you will, I'm just using it as an example, was weak. And my ability in the machine, I can turn the frequency up and says, okay, go to that cell and start recharging it. Now, as it starts to recharge that cell, what's going to happen? We're going to remove all that inflammation. We're going to get blood and oxygen into that cell. Now it's going to revitalize it. This thing, this cell is just to start to come back to life. Now, as I start to do this and bring it back to life, what happens? Swelling goes away. All the stress in that joint. So you start moving your shoulder going, wow, that feels pretty darn good. Because what I'm doing is I'm waking everything up. I'm recharging that cell naturally, giving the body's ability to heal itself. Now, as this cell starts to recharge itself, now around the outer edges of these.
Oh, did we lose him?
They're almost charged.
He's back. Okay. There he is.
So what's it feel like, Jamie?
Okay, so it was truly weird that I was sitting on the whole thing and it didn't go anywhere but to the spot on my shoulder, and then I have a little spot like on my back that always hurts a little bit too, and it went to those two spots, and it was like a little like I said, like a kind of a TENS unit but deeper. It just felt like it went deeper as opposed to grabbing your skin. Mm-hmm. It kind of grabbed your muscle a little bit. Like even my abs were kind of like tightening when it happened, and he didn't have it up very high. But so I sat there for 20 minutes, and I think he gave me an extra 5 at the end of that because it was just amazing. And mm-hmm. I think I did it on the 10th of January, and I'm looking at the calendar, the 10th of January, and today's the 22nd. A side note, I don't, as you guys know that listen to the show, I don't sleep very well, like really at all.
That's why she's usually grumpy in the morning.
I'm up at 3 in the morning usually. The Wednesday, the 10th, I went to bed and I woke up Thursday, the 11th at like 10 a.m. Chad was like, are you sick? Something wrong with you? The 12th, the night of the 11th, Lucas actually had got like stomach virus and threw up all over the room. And Chad was yelling at me, Jerry, wake up. Totally slept 12 hours that night as well. I have not taken a pill since the 10th, since before the day before I went and used this machine. And I mean,
isn't it amazing?
I kind of, you know, like I was like, okay, Pete, whatever, pulse my back. Oh my God. I like need to come back, or I need to buy one. And it's only like $15,000. So I think I'll get two. No, it was amazing.
Get some training too, but we'll get you going.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it is amazing for humans. You can do it for pets and animals. I've got people that bring dogs over, and the dogs just love it. You know, the paws hurt. They're running around on these rocks and the dirt, and they come in, they're limping. You set them down on this mat I have. We put this PMF on it. They kind of look up at you going, what is this? And then they just lay there going, oh, yeah, right there. That's a great spot. It's like a deep massage therapy. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I took video of Zeus because when he put it along, because we did Zeus next, and when he put it on Zeus and went over his back, I could see the pulsing on his back a little bit. And you said that's fairly common, but then we did his hind end and I got video of that. And you'll see, I'll post it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page right now and show everybody what it is. So, Madison, have you used the PEMF machine, and what do you think about it?
I use it, yes, and I've used it on my own horses. And I have a horse that's laminitic, and her feet always hurt. And she's my main competition horse. And so I can't spend a lot of time riding her because that takes a lot of pressure on her feet, obviously. And so she's on a strict diet, and I constantly am trying to make sure her feet are comfortable. So I told her every time before I compete, we do her feet specifically for, I think it's like 40 minutes, 20 minutes on each foot. And she mm-hmm. feels 100 times better. Like, she feels lighter. Like, she doesn't, she, like, when I ride her normally, she'll feel almost heavy because she doesn't want to, you know, pick up her feet. So she just feels not great. But after we pulse her, her feet feel lighter. Like, she can really move quicker. We pulse her whole back because she's very short coupled, and she puts the hold a lot of stress, you know, as she's going, you know, because we're asking a lot from them. And she feels significantly better, and she feels revitalized to go run. We always do it the day before, and she feels great the day I'm going to go run her. And, like, I've done it on myself. Like, not too long ago, I hit a barrel, and I don't know if anybody has done Western, but when you hit a steel barrel going 30 miles per hour, you know, your knee gets, like, busted open. And I was lame
Fun.
For, like, 2 days. I could barely walk and put weight on it. So I put the Nevastine on my knee, and it felt 100 times better. And, like, I don't have a big scar, and the scab, I didn't have anything. It healed significantly faster. I was able to walk on it the next day. It was actually really crazy how fast my knee felt good again.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I know that amazing. my vet said she's working with you, and it's healed. It's like helped heal a horse with a fracture a lot faster. And she's just amazed by it. I know we could get Pete going. He could talk for half an hour about all the horses that this machine has been able to help. So we won't get him going with that. Now, is there a PMF machine in everybody's neighborhood? Like, how's this work? How can the people find it?
You can we call have a, me.
Oh, sorry.
No, you sound like you got it going, Maddie. Go for it.
I was going to say, on the website for our specific PMF, if you look up Life Pulse PMF, they have a search bar where you can find licensed practitioners in your area. Because I know a lot of your people listening aren't from necessarily Arizona. But you can search on their website and find licensed practitioners. Now, there are lots of different PEMFs that don't go to just the generic ones. The one we use is a medical grade machine. And so you want to make sure you're going to someone who knows what they're doing with a strong, good machine. So I wouldn't just go to, like, your backyard MagnaWave or one of those other ones that are kind of not as advanced. Make sure you do your research and look up the Life Pulse PEMF machine.
Life Pulse
and
PEMF.
Yep. Okay. And they'll have, like, a little search where you can find licensed practitioners all in your area, in your state. Like in Arizona, I believe there's only two here that are used for animals. So, you know, in your area, there might be only one or two, and you can have them come out. Some people fly us across, you know, to other places to do it. It just depends on where your area is and how many there are.
See, this is sneaky though. Google, I put in Life Pulse PEMF, and the first thing that came up was an ad for MagnaWave, and it was mm-hmm. PEMF. That's not it?
No. Well, mm-hmm. MagnaWave is a very good similar thing. They still use the same PEMF technology. The difference is kind of like a cell phone. You've got a smartphone, and you got a flip phone. We're the smartphone. MagnaWave is probably the... I'm kind of like... Not the smartphone. It's a flip phone because the technology hasn't been advanced as well as this machine has been. I know I sound bad. I just tore somebody down. But you know what?
No, I There's like so it. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Well, and I do have the website. It's just lifepulse.com. And it's just lifepulse.com. But you're right. When you search for it, you get a whole bunch of other things too. So it's lifepulse.com.
It is, because PMF is amazing.
And I'm actually on there.
So many different ways.
And they have one in Ocala, where we live. So, and there's a whole bunch of them around the East Coast and West Coast. The map is full of little dots. So,
well, check it out. And what is your website, Madison?
You can look us up at gallopingwithguidance.com, or look us up on Facebook. We're there too.
Galloping with Guidance. Great. I will see you guys a little later. I got to come.
She needs recharged. She needs your battery recharged.
That's
exactly right. It works great.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
How lucky am I to have this in my neighborhood?
I know.
Seriously?
Plus, you have the Aqua Pacer, which is what you used for your horse for so long. So
I know. I just ride him over there. And I live in a place like you guys. This is not a high-tech horse place. So now I went over to, last night. I rode by to check on Pink because I got home. I wanted to hack Zeus. And I rode over there. And all the horses that are in for, they have like a little aqua pacer barn thing. And you can see all the horses in it. And they're all Frisians. I was like, this is starting to catch on here. We got some fancy horses in my neighborhood now. And I have, you know, Mustangs and quarter horses. So it was awesome to see some breeds over there. It was really neat. So it's cool. It's just awesome. I mean, I want Chad to go because he has, like, he's on disability because of his neck with being a fighter pilot. And they look to the left and pull 9 Gs and their neck, you know.
Surprised so that's mess, not the only so. Thing. It's like everything gets pulled when you're a fighter pilot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the guys with the back problems, you know, we're so fortunate Chad doesn't have the back pain, but we have a lot of them that do. And I think getting him over to this machine would really make a difference. I couldn't believe it. Chad, when he was trying to wake me up, was yelling at me. And the next morning he says to me, he goes, what did you take? Like, what pill did you take? Because sometimes I'll take a Benadryl to help me sleep. But I did I wake up still very quickly, but he was like yelling. And apparently Lucas is like projectile vomiting all over the walls. And I slept through all of it.
You're glad you missed it.
I woke up and I'm like, I'll take the laundry. Here you go. Give it to me.
Let's do a little song here. We're going to come back. We have Leslie coming up. We're going to talk about some of the stories that she's bringing to the table. A lot going on over at Horse Nation and Eventing Nation right now. We'll be right back.
The city offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience, but it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, I went to college, searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, there's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. We got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bears. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Fate's in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
That was Jared Rogerson. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning here on the Horse Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget to get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for really bad ads.
Brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine.
Brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Thank you for that. We have a couple of minutes here. We haven't done one of these in a while. You want to take some guesses on Survey Show? Jennifer can play along with this too.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So what we do once a month is I take a look. I go to Google and actually went to Bing today. When's the last time you went to Bing for anything?
I get mad when it comes up because I'm like, why is that my homepage?
So anyway, I went to Bing today and I actually did it. So some of these come from Bing.
It's going to be terrible.
So Survey Show, and all I do is type in Survey Show over the last month and see what we have wasted our money on. Some of these are government funded, some are not, but it's all pretty much just a waste of money because Jamie and I already know the answers. So here we go. The first one is Survey Show. There's no added benefits to cohabitating.
There's more to that. Mm-hmm. To cohabitating with, let's see, what would be inappropriate to have in your home?
With pet rats.
Oh, man. Somebody's going to be mad. I would just say bringing your horse to the house. Cohabitating with your neighbor's horse.
Yeah, that's probably. No added benefits to cohabitating before marriage. So living together before marriage apparently has no added benefits.
Lies.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I've been able to call off some monsters. Cohabitate. Yeah, no, this ain't gonna work.
Jennifer, I can't say much. We cohabitated before marriage too. So, Survey Show. There's not really much guessing on this one, but you're gonna love this one, seeing you deal with so many of them. Survey Show that teenagers are better behaved and less hedonistic nowadays.
Hedonistic?
Yeah, less mean and cruel. Now, I find that hard to believe. But maybe it's just because you hear about so many more, you know, of the bullying and all that stuff. You know, they're not less stupid because you heard about the Tide Challenge, right?
No. That is not what hedonistic means.
Oh, okay.
just Google that.
Okay.
Engaged in the pursuit of pleasure, sensually self-indulgent.
Oh. That's still surprising. so they're not less stupid because that whole Tide Challenge thing, who thinks that's a good idea? I don't care what age you are.
I was dying. One of our listeners, Cecilia, was it? I can't remember. Was posted a text that she sent her son. She's like, hey, never thought I'd have to tell you this, but let me go ahead and say, don't eat Tide Pods. Don't do the Tide Pod Challenge, something like that. And her son wrote back, Tide Pods are for wimps. I do the bleach challenge.
Oh,
and she's like,
God.
That's my boy. Way to go, buddy. I died laughing. I was like, so funny. So, yeah.
Survey Show, government is not a great
working, functioning thing.
Right now, especially. I was wondering, I left that one open. You can come up with anything there. And any answer is right. Any answer will show the same thing. Surveys show that government is not a great place to work.
Well, why? You get to work, don't do anything.
I don't know, but you know what? Right now, they're not working anyway, so what the heck? Studies show you only need to exercise this many minutes a day for better health. I gave you the whole title there because I want you to guess how many minutes I actually went and looked.
Wait, say that again?
Studies show you only need to exercise this many minutes a day for better health.
No, many, two?
I'm going to say seven.
Well, Jennifer's closer. 10 minutes a day for better health.
Oh, I was thinking eight because 8 minute abs.
Well, they used to say 30 minutes, that you had to do 30 minutes a day.
Have you noticed that about every 6 to 10 years, it shortens itself considerably?
Yes. They're just trying to get people off the couch.
Yeah, just trying to get them to do anything.
You know what? If I say it's 4 minutes, will you do something, please? Yeah. Thank you.
Studies show drinking too much can make you
a lot of fun. Or have regrets. It could be either.
Studies show drinking too much can make you overweight and depressed. That comes from the regrets, probably.
I did not find that to be true.
Studies show airline customer satisfaction is
this at an all-time high when you fly with American Airlines.
You know, you're actually right, and it shocked me. Surveys show airline customer satisfaction is up for the fifth year. With all the bitching and people getting kicked off airplanes and everything, yet people are still showing it's up. I don't know.
That's weird.
Surveys show a lack of confidence in
their government.
That's close. The media. Who reports on the government?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Both.
Studies show that drinking tea is good for.
When you do these things where you could like ingest something and it's supposed to be good for something, the first word I think of is wiener. Every time, and I have to stop myself every time, but this time
it's not an aphrodisiac. That is not the correct answer.
That's like, it's
not going to help ED. That's not what this one's good.
It'd be cool if it did. We'd make millions.
No, it's just good for your mood, which in fact could help ED. And, you know, if you want to look at it that way.
Everything's connected.
Everything is connected. All right, one more. Studies show, let's see. Oh, studies show, this is the dumbest one I saw. Studies show opioid prescriptions come from.
So they did a study to tell opium comes from poppies?
No, actually, opiate prescriptions come from, even stupider.
The doctors.
Yes. That's the title of this study. Studies show opioid prescriptions come from the doctor's office.
Wow. That's amazing.
I don't.
Is somebody calling me right now? Should I answer that on Skype? I'm getting a phone call right now.
I don't know. Nope, I wouldn't answer it.
It says it's you.
I'm not calling anybody. So.
Okay,
all right. Well, maybe Leslie's trying to chime in. But anyway, that's my study show. There was a bunch more, including that you can have positive effects from watching cat videos. So you're all good to go.
Well, that one I buy into.
Pop up. And also for all our Montana listeners, Montana's drivers are the worst in the nation. So there's that too.
Oh, I beg to disagree.
Yeah, we've lived in some pretty good. Boston was... an interesting place to drive. All right, let's see if we can get Leslie Wiley on here from Horse Nation, her weekly stop. I think that was actually her trying to call us. I don't know. Leslie, are you here?
I'm here.
Yay! Thank you for stopping by this Monday again.
Yeah.
So how are you? How's everything in the world of Horse and Eventing Nation?
You know, it's just floating on. We're just floating on by, as usual.
You sound really tired. What's going on?
Yes.
I do. I've been, like, pounding coffee. Oh, no. I have a little insomnia, and I have, like, a 4 o'clock a.m. rule. And so if I wake up, like, before 4 a.m., I have to, like, lay in bed, keep my eyes closed, and try and go back to sleep. But if I wake up after 4 a.m., I can like get on up and like good work. And today I woke up at like 3:55. And so I just sort of like got on up and then like by this time you're like, oh, I think I'm ready for a nap. So
yeah. She emailed me at 6 o'clock this morning with all our information. And that's the first time in 5 years. And I went, because usually I'm getting it. What about now? Actually. Yeah. And I wrote back and said, are you okay? Are you all right, Leslie? What's going on?
Leslie, we just interviewed somebody from my neighborhood, and I don't think it's going to be close to you. You might not have one. But it's called a PEMF machine, and it's like pulse electromagnetic frequency. And yeah. I did it, and I literally, the next two nights, I slept 12 hours a night. And I'm asleep like you. I do that 4 a.m. thing too. So
I've heard such good things about that stuff.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing. And so if you ever see one, go and do it, like the really good one. I mean, Chad's like, you haven't slept like that. And I said, I think ever.
Yeah.
Ever. So anyway, we just talked about
it. It's called Life Pulse, actually. LifePulse.com. And there, you can look up. I think there were some things. There are ones in Tennessee. So you might want to check it out. As a matter of fact, yeah, I think there's one in your town. So
there is. There is. Yeah, I got to like talk to the lady that was doing it last weekend, actually. She came out for
well,
the
go
clinic.
Get zapped.
I know. I'm like, forget princess.
Yeah.
Just do me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like if I had one of those machines for myself, you know, I'd just be like.
I just looked. They're only like $15,000. So you should.
Like running marathons. Yeah. And yeah.
You can afford it. You're good. Well, let's talk a little bit about McLean Ward being named 2017 Equestrian of the Year. And I told, and there's an article on Horse Nation about that. And I'm so glad you put the video of his acceptance speech, which, by the way, has almost 100,000 views now. It is, and I don't have permission to play it or else I'd play it, but it is one of the best I've ever heard.
Man, he is just seems like a true horseman who really cares about what he, you know, really cares about his horses and just like is in the sport because he loves the sport. And that, he, so, but can I maybe read a little transcript of it?
Sure. Yeah, you can do that.
Please.
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
Okay. Without the horse, none of this would be possible. We owe them our lives. They give us so much and they ask for only basic kindness in return. I believe horses and humans have a connection that draws us to each other. I believe in their own way. They know we need them and they are pleased to be our partner, whether it be in work or sport. We need to remember to never take this privilege of working and living with horses for granted. To never lose our appreciation for what they have given us throughout the history of time, and to be sure that their relevance in our society does not fade away. This is our greatest responsibility as equestrians. Like,
there couldn't have been a dry eye in the house after he was done with this speech.
Man, so true. So true.
That probably wasn't even written down. He just like spoke from the heart.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you see it. You see it in the way that he rides and the way that he interacts with his horses. He has really intimate relationships with his horses. And that's something that you just, I think you see less and less the more that this, you know, like the sport of show jumping in particular has become, you know, infiltrated. It's just like there's so much money in it. There's so much, you know.
And I also think you see it, and this is something we don't talk about enough. I also think you see it, and I see it externally and also here, people around him. You see it in the way he treats people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes yeah, these really good riders, and this tends to go together. They ride to compete, and then they treat their staff like crap, and ultimately they're treating their horses like crap. There was an example of that last year, right? I mean, in New York, we just talked about that the other day again. How they treat people is also how they treat their horses. That kind of goes mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does. It comes down. I think it comes down to empathy. Like you, like having empathy toward other living beings, and like you can't just like fake it. You can't fake anything around horses. You know, like they know and they respond to it. And so I think it's, you know, I think it's all, it's definitely all connected. I think you're
well said. You cannot fake it. You cannot go, I'm not scared. And you're scared. Yeah.
And you know what? For and this goes back to actually probably when you guys started Horse Nation, but when also we started here, you can't fake it with people for the most part either. Mm-hmm. They're going to figure it out at some point. And when we started this show, Jamie and I, we talked about how are we going to handle ourselves on this show. And we said, look, we can't fake it. We're just going to be who we are. And whether people listen or not, that's up to them. But, you know, and if we don't seem like the most knowledgeable and everything, it's because we're not. You know, but we hope we're entertaining and we hope you learn from the people we have on the show. And I know that I had that conversation with John when you guys first started all of the Nations way back 10 years ago. And you guys have lived up to that, too.
Yeah. So. Well, I think one thing that's made you guys successful and makes it like always interesting to listen to you is that you have a genuine curiosity about the horse world and the people and the horses that inhabit it. And so like when you ask questions, it's always there's an earnestness that comes through, you know, that you've like, again, like you can't fake it.
Right.
So and that's why you can get up every morning and be excited about what you do is because you're actually genuinely care and you're interested and you have that empathy.
Who are you and what have you done with our Leslie Wiley? What? You're
way too coherent and like organized an adult right now, and it's kind of freaking me out.
I'm actually just talking in my sleeve, so.
Let's see if I can find a silly story. Let's go to a silly story quick. How about 10 times the internet diagnosed my horse with ulcers?
10? How can you only limit that to 10? Literally every piece of advice you people solicit for, the answer is ulcers.
Yeah. Also, I feel like it's the addendum to every time my vet, you know, I have a question for my vet and they're also like, I mean, it doesn't matter what horse I've owned over the years. It's always the same. And you should probably like get your horse on something for ulcers, you know, I'm like Gastroguard and Ulcer Guard. I'm like, okay, I could have. Yep. Of course. I think you could scope. And I think it's like kind of true. I think you could scope a whole lot of horses and find ulcers and a bunch of them, if not the majority of them or all of them. But yeah, but I'm like, I don't need to be reminded of this. It doesn't need to be tied into every single thing that we do. like this story is so funny. Megan Delisle.
Here. I'll read the problem. Okay. You read the answer.
Okay.
Number one. Oh, you guys, my OTT beat through a shoe.
Gosh darn, he probably has ulcers.
This is so true, though.
He's looking at me so weird in the cross ties.
Most definitely ulcers.
So my redheaded mare refused to get in the trailer today next to the new llama I bought. And to top it all off, I only had 5 minutes to load and I was in a huge hurry.
Ulcers all the way.
My horse is... completely all of a sudden has a sudden fear of pine trees.
You're a horrible horse owner. He obviously has ulcers.
Help! My horse runs away from me in the pasture.
Let me guess. He's not on an ulcer supplement.
Can anyone out there on the internet tell me how I can have a more balanced canter?
Treat him for ulcers, duh.
Like, my new OTTV is, like, so fat. We're talking mega fat. The fattest of fats. Anybody know why?
3 cheers for ulcers.
My horse, he totally rolls in the dirt pile after every single bath.
So do the other 5,000 off-track thoroughbreds in the world because they all have ulcers.
Now, we have heard that said how many times that every thoroughbred has ulcers. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Yeah. I would imagine. I thought you were saying that they roll in the dirt.
Mostly said by the Ulcer Guard people. But they say it over and over, and now everybody believes it.
Yeah.
My horse won't eat, or my horse won't stop eating.
Do I even have to repeat myself? Ulcers.
And then finally, my horse grunts every time I sit down in the saddle.
Well, it's definitely not the 2 dozen cupcakes you just ate. It's obviously ulcers. And then there's this amazing meme of like
Oprah,
like, you've got ulcers and you've got ulcers. Ulcers for every thoroughbred. That's great. Have you had your horses scope for ulcers though before? Like, have you like seen an ulcer scope? It's really disturbing.
See, the thing is, when I had my horse scoped for ulcers, there's like, oh, there's no ulcers in the stomach. They've got to be hindgut ulcers.
Like,
you can't scope for that. So basically, why do I even bother with you scoping when I'm just going to treat him anyway? Because you're going to tell me anyway that I need to treat him.
Yeah.
But seriously, your horse, if you're looking at your horse right now, he's got ulcers. Yeah. Just so you know.
You know what's funny? It's like overlooked. Like, you know who doesn't get a big deal made out of having ulcers? Horse owners whose horses have given us ulcers, so many ulcers over the years, all the stress they put us through.
I've got ulcers. I've got ulcers. Everybody gets ulcers. So yeah,
I want some horses. Like I can't wait until like GastroGuard like comes out with like GastroGuard for human for like horse owners.
Yeah, like that would tube in your mouth and
that I would buy. Not that I've not already given them a lot of money over the years, but yeah, like they could like package it like a horse owner like. Horse human like package deal for
two in one. It's
we
like
just give each other whole ulcers. So let's just you guys can it'd be like a cute thing. Like take your ulcer medicine together, bonding.
And then you would have to post a picture of that on Instagram because if you don't post it on social media, it doesn't actually happen.
Never happened. Yeah, for sure. Sure.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. Another articles you guys have is the best advice you've ever received. And that was really good too. And most of it is actually really good advice. So go check that out on horsenation.com.
All right. You guys take care. Have a great week.
Leslie, you're off next week. Just wanted to remind you, we're heading to Ada. We're heading to Ada. How come we never see you at Ada? You got to come up.
Get many free samples of stuff.
What you should be coming up one of these times. I don't know.
Where is it? Where is it this year?
Philadelphia. It's always in Philadelphia in the winter, which is probably why you're not coming up. But yeah, one of these days we'll see you there. You have to come up.
Oh, that would be fun.
Hang out with us. Well, thanks so much, Leslie.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. Take care of that ulcer.
You too.
GastroGuard. So it's funny. She talked about ulcers, and Madison before talked about being lame.
Yes.
These are horse girls for you. Well, I was like totally lame after that.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. By the way, the live feed people, we went offline for a while there. The Mixler, who we use for the live feed, remember before the show it had an update? And I said, I hope this doesn't break it. Well, of course, we get, 65 minutes into the show and it crashes. So there you go. It's back, but it did crash for a period of time. I don't know what happened. So we're back. Let's hope it doesn't continue to do that. I did want to mention that McLean Ward's horse, also H.H. Azure, won Horse of the Year title this year. And that was well-deserved as well. So McLean was having a pretty good year. In addition to the millions of dollars he won. I mean, there's that, too.
Not a bad way to make a living.
And I also wanted to mention one other thing. Jennifer missed this on Today in History. I'm surprised. She usually does that at the end of her intro.
Oh, no. I missed a good one?
You missed a good one. It was on this day in 2010 that Big Jake was listed and measured as the world's tallest horse. I think we had Big Jake's owner on, didn't we, at one point?
We did. That's the Percheron, right?
Yeah. Well, Big Jake is still around. Big Jake the gelding is still around. Apparently, people still go out to the farm to meet him. He's still officially the tallest horse, measuring in at 20.275 hands.
Wow.
The farm is in Smoky Hollow in Wisconsin. And apparently, you can just stop and say hi to Big Jake. Big Jake, by the way, is freaking big. Remember the one auction we were at? There was a 19 and a half hand Belgian, and it was enormous. I mean, we owned an 18 hand horse, but when you add those extra 4 inches, it is just crazy big. And I cannot imagine what almost 21 hands is. It's nuts. So I'll post a link to that article from the Guinness World Book of Records. I'll post a link to it on our Facebook page so you can go. If you haven't seen Big Jake yet, go take a look at Big Jake. It's just incredible.
I can't even imagine.
It's just
that's a lead by the head because you don't want to lead by the shoulder. Take one step towards you, you're toast.
And that is whatever he decides he wants to do, he's going to do. You're not stopping him. He did say that they had to get a tractor-trailer truck to haul him because there was nothing big enough. They had to get the full-size tractor-trailer truck.
Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow. Tomorrow is what, Jennifer? It's Western Day. Tara will be here.
It is.
It's Western Day tomorrow, so we'll look forward to seeing you then. Jamie will be back here on Wednesday. All right. That's it. Thanks, everybody.
Bay, neuter, geld. Have a good one.